If you were a cherry blossom, how fast would you fall?
My fat ass, I would fall at like at least 8 centimeters a second. I'd plummet, man.
Ashley Banfield here. I want to wish you like terrific luck with your podcast. What was that called again? That podcast, what was that called again?
You are officially 0%.
My God.
KRZLE.
Yeah. Charles.
Yeah. Burt Reynolds pulls out a banana.
Yes, and starts really good.
Butterfly kisses.
Oh my God.
Hey, fuck these drums.
The synopsis just isn't good.
Oh my God. Okay.
And on that note.
Welcome, everybody, to What Was That Called Again? My name is Thomas.
I am Will.
And to everybody listening for the first time, this is a movie podcast.
Ooh.
And I select three different movies, and I read their IMDb plot descriptions to Will.
It's me.
That's the other guy. And then he tries to match the plot description with the correct title. And then we also will... Well, we won't, but I will read a quote to Will, and
best
then
part.
Will also tries to guess what film the quote came from.
Basically, you're trying to challenge my, I guess, talent for not remembering movie titles, and also
yes.
talent for doubting myself. that's really the challenge of this game is, or not even the challenge, it's just really the whole game itself is to just make Will doubt everything he says.
And it usually works out exactly that way. If you're a longtime listener, you get it. You've heard it before.
Hey, you know what, though? I'm going to call it right now. I'm going to call a hat trick right now. We're recording. Oh. It's late at night. During this recording, we just changed times. We are now...
yes. 4 minutes ago, we did.
Have we saved daylight or do we lose daylight?
Yeah, we're in daylight losing time, I think.
Daylight losing
now.
Time. Okay.
Yeah.
So it is now 3 a.m. and I just had my first drink. So I'm going to call it right now. Hat trick. I got the confidence. I think this has happened a couple times. I feel good.
Yeah, you're like 100% on your bold declarations of hat tricks.
This could be my hat trick of hat tricks.
Well, we will see about that.
Okay.
I'm on Guinness number 2.
Here we go.
Polishing that off.
With a sponsor.
So we have a plug or two really quick.
Oh, yes.
First of all, if you're listening to us at the time of recording this week, which is we're recording on Sunday, March 10th at like 3 a.m.
Oscar Sunday.
It is Oscar Sunday. This week, earlier this week, we got... 2 downloads from Greece.
Oh my gosh.
So if you continue listening to the show for some reason, please send us an email to wwtcapod@protonmail.com. Tell us what part of Greece you're in. Tell us how you found the show. Tell us why you decided to listen to it.
Tell us why this is being used as a torture device.
Yes, we privately, Will and I theorized that much like in Guantanamo Bay, where they would blast like heavy metal music at like 24/7 at the prisoners, we think maybe that's what our podcast is being used for, because there's no other reason why we'd randomly get like 1 or 2 downloads in Mexico and then like in Greece
Russia?
In Germany and Russia.
Yeah.
Like Putin, if you're listening, and you're a big fan, if you want to mention us in one of your speeches or something,
yeah.
Or
you could fuck off. Either way,
maybe don't mention us. It would be best, but just keep listening.
Yeah,
we hope you enjoy it.
Yeah.
So we do really quick before we dive in. One last thing to bring up: we do have a couple follow ups because week we covered. A very good trio of films, it turns out.
They
so
were
we
pretty good. I'll agree.
There were for me personally, there were a couple movies that I hadn't seen, and I amended that. Will watched one of them as well. So, I had gone over the films Sunday in the Country, and also watched the film Fright. Will. Also watched the movie Fright.
I did.
And also, interestingly, the day after we recorded that episode, the website, The Digital Bits, which posts about movie release updates and information and stuff like that, they actually, the day after we recorded that episode, announced that the film Fright from 1971 is getting a brand new 4K restoration.
So the greatest part about this is that it was literally the day after we recorded that episode, mm-hmm. that Fright restoration was announced. However, because of our recording schedule, the episode will actually come out weeks later.
Yeah, several weeks after that. So yes.
So we weirdly maybe like can say that we were on that wave, but it'll seem like we're behind that wave.
Yeah, but who's keeping track?
Exactly. I think it's our CIA counterparts who are using this as torture devices, that they actually also have a finger in the restoration release dates of certain films. Yeah.
Like, oh, what was that called again? Cover this one. Let's we need to find the original negative.
And because it's top secret what they're doing, they can't email us. So that's their way of saying we're listening.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
So if you are listening, please put out a restoration of The Sixth Sense.
Yes, that's something we were texting about earlier today.
So this will be the test.
I realized that I have a DVD, a two-disc, like Vista series DVD Ooh. Set of The Sixth Sense. It's a beautiful set. However, it is a DVD set. And I actually asked my partner, I was like, because I was going through a bunch of movies that I own to try to like dig out ones that I'm like, I can get rid of this one. And I pulled out The Sixth Sense and I asked her, I was like, The Sixth Sense has a 4K release by now, right? And she was like, oh, definitely. And I was like, well, I'll see if Will wants it. And then as I was like walking over to get my phone, she was like, wait, maybe it doesn't. And I was like, what? And so I got onto Amazon and I typed in The Sixth Sense 4K. And yeah, there's nothing. There's not even a good Blu-ray release for it. Isn't that insane?
Crazy.
This like very popular like blockbuster
Some
film.
People say it's a good movie. I don't know.
Yeah, a few people thought it was pretty good. Anyway, so all that aside.
Sunday in the Country.
We do want to cover a couple of things real quick. I did watch, like I said, Sunday in the Country. So I did need to amend something that I said last week as well. I think it was last week. I really shamed Plex because I was looking for the film Night of the Bastard, which is supposed to be on Plex, and I could not find it on there. I realized that the issue is not with Plex. The issue is that I'm very dumb.
Oh, and that's right. Yes.
Because I was looking for Sunday on the Country, which says it's on Plex. And I had the same thing. I would search it. And it would say that it was unavailable. And I was like, what in the fuck is going on with Plex? Well, it turns out if you are connected to a VPN in Denmark, you are not able to watch Sunday in the Country on Plex. So
they have it. They just, you can't watch it if you're in Denmark.
Yeah. So everybody in the States out there, if you're using a VPN, make sure you disconnect that before you search the streaming services. That might help your results. But anyway, I did watch it. Thankfully, the movie, maybe thankfully, I guess, in my case, at least, it was uploaded in full onto YouTube. So I was able to watch it on YouTube.
Nice.
All I'm going to say about it is that I did like it quite a bit. I thought it was very good. If anybody out there wants to,
where could I hear more about your thoughts on Sunday in the Country?
It's funny you should ask, Will, because it turns out that we actually set up a brand new, what was that called again, Letterboxd account. So if anybody out there, if we discuss a movie on the podcast, or even if there's something that we don't end up talking about, if we watch it, we will log it on our Letterboxd and you can read kind of in more detail what we think about the movies that we end up watching. So give us a follow, get on Letterboxd and search WWTCA pod. You can find us. We've only done at the time of recording like 40? five.
Oh, wait, four. Sorry, wait, five. Yeah, five. Oh, five. We've, sorry. Five reviews. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I was thinking of a number of movies we've actually done, because the point of the Letterboxd is that we're not going to treat it as just like a, we're going to watch everything. This is just for the films, the three films each episode that are covered here on, what was that called again? That's what this Letterboxd is for. So we are, our attempt is in time is to watch all of the films that we have discussed that are available to be seen. So with that being said, yeah, there's like 40 some that we have to get to, and we've only got five at this current time of recording reviewed so far, but we're getting on to that. It's a fun little process, but yeah, so if we don't talk about it here or ever again after the episode, go check that out. We will try to get all those films discussed, or at least reviewed in some way, like a hey, we liked this, or we didn't like this, something.
Yeah, and if there's something that we ever covered that you, in retrospect, were like, man, I wanted to see what that was, but I don't remember what episode it was, and I don't remember stuff like that, you know, you can, we actually have a list set up where that we're actively adding to every single week, a list of every single movie that we cover on the show.
But what if I wanted to know what movies you guys have talked about, but I wanted to only know in a visual sense? Where could I go?
Will, you're hitting the nail on the head with each question you ask this week, man.
And this wasn't even scripted, honestly.
Yeah, so I retroactively, as of some of the listeners probably may have noticed it by now, but I have gone through the descriptions for each episode, and I have added at the bottom of each description, I'm going to add the name of each movie that we discuss in the episode.
See, so what you could tell that this wasn't even scripted, because that's not what I was even talking about. I was talking in even more visual sense. We also now have an Instagram. So if by any chance you just want to be like, oh, like I want to really quickly see like what films they're either covering this week or they have covered it in the past, all we're using that account for is just to post the movie posters and the description of that episode. So you can follow us there if you want. It's not really a big thing, but yeah, those are options.
Clearly not a big thing based on the number of followers we just currently have.
That's true.
Okay. So anyway, the other movie from last week that we both watched and wanted to cover really quick was the film Fright from 1971. Why don't you go ahead and start with that?
So we basically last week, and I'm sure that we were probably wrong on this, but I still stand behind it. We kind of, or at least I kind of called this like the grandfather of the slasher type babysitter killer subgenre of horror films. And like I said, that might be a, you know, an asterisk to that or whatever, but 1971, there weren't too many of those films around, and man, was this fun. Fright was just fun. It was fun to see a plot line that we've seen before, but to also, at least for me, visually frame it in like, this is the first time we're doing, or one of the first times we're doing this, right? And not only that, but it was also just really well done. There was a lot of things that we've seen become kind of cliche in this style of slasher, but then there were also some things that not necessarily were original, but that maybe haven't become cliche, or have become cliche in other ways. And it was cool to see like one of the early versions of it. And I don't know, it really was fun. I went in expecting it to be good, not necessarily great or not awesome or whatever, or like a classic, right? I didn't know much about it beyond what we talked about here, but I did expect it to be good. So my bar was at least somewhere. It wasn't like on the bottom, and it kind of delivered. It was really kind of fun. There were some decent like tension building moments. There were some, you know, this is a subjective comment, but there were some like frightful moments as well, right? And the cinematography was fantastic. Mm-hmm. The pacing was great. Yeah, I mean, it was like, it was really an awesome experience for what how simple it is, and how far that, like I said, that subgenre of babysitter slasher type, you know, horror films has come. Like, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, and I completely agree. I thought one of the things that I thought kind of right in the middle of the movie was it made me really wish that actress Susan George, who plays the lead in the movie, it made me wish that she became more of a star than she would end up
being.
Because I know her mainly from the Sam Peckinpah movie, Straw Dogs. She's married to Dustin Hoffman in that movie, and she's great in that movie as well. But I think even more so than that movie, I liked her in this a lot. She was so good. And like Will said, the cinematography was right off the bat, like, struck me. I expected it to be really a more, I don't know how to describe it. I expected it to be kind of more
basic,
like trashy, like 70s exploitation looking kind of movie. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
But then it ended up, it was like, it was like every single shot was staged so precisely. And like,
yeah, the shots really helped build the moments. They weren't just, you weren't either just locked down or you weren't like, you know, rough and tumble, whatever. It was, it was, things were done for a reason and they really helped build the moment. Like you were also in that house with her.
Yeah. And I love throughout the whole beginning of the movie, which gave me personally a real, it reminded me so, and my partner who watched it with me, it reminded us so much of The House of the Devil. And that like whenever Jocelyn Donahue's character first gets to the house where she's supposed to be what she thinks babysitting, and they're like, they're showing her everything, and the way that the couple are like kind of like giving each other these looks while they're talking to each other. I was like, what the fuck are they doing? Like, well, that was,
so I really loved that part too. I loved this whole, this feeling of there's something not being said here. And I mean,
it's so weird.
I mean, and yeah, maybe they do kind of paint it pretty thick, you know, or whatever, but it was just really interesting to feel like, you know, there's really something going on here. So it wasn't simply, spoilers. It wasn't simply that just, you know, this former husband escapes from a mental institution and shows up. It was, they kind of like, I don't want to say that they thought this was going to happen, but maybe the mother character was worried about this, or, you know, I theorized this was going to happen. And that opening was just like the whole time you're just like, what the hell is, like, something is up here.
Yeah. And I loved they frame Susan George's character with throughout the whole opening of the movie, where they're walking around the house. She is like so strategically framed, where every single shot she's either shot through like the bars on the crib, or she's shot through like the bars on the railing to the staircase. Yes. Like she's shot with like,
she's
amazing visual, amazing like visual
metaphor?
symbolism of her, like metaphor for her being like caged in, and she,
right.
I loved every single shot in that movie.
It really was, I did have expectations as far as like, no, this is, I think this is going to be good, but I didn't know how good, right? And then the fact that like,
that's how I felt too.
It kind of met and exceeded that with the cinematography, mm-hmm. the editing, the pacing, the acting was fairly decent from what I've expected from, you know, early 70s horror films, right? And the story itself is, it's a really simple story that kind of just gets out of the way, which is what I liked too, is that it wasn't this heavy-handed complex thing, right? That, you know, it was just very simple, like, you know, there was some kind of weird tension between the mother and the boyfriend, or, you know, whoever character that was. And then there was some like unspoken elements, but other than that, she was just a babysitter hired for the night. And she did what, you know, any teenage babysitter would do, which I loved that too. I loved watching this and seeing elements of Scream, and seeing elements of, you know, like Halloween. So like we talked in last week's episode about how, you know, maybe Carpenter knew about this movie, right? But it was really interesting to see. And again, I'm not saying that, like, you know, these are super unique ideas or whatever. So maybe someone did, you know, just come at this on their own. But it was really cool to see these elements of horror films that we know today, these slasher films, in this 1971 British film. Like, I loved the creepy shadows outside the window. in the beginning. Man.
They have like glossed windows, and there's these shots where you just see the shape, and yeah, like you can see a face through the glossed windows, but you can't make out any features. You just see the silhouette of a face. And every time it did that, we were like, oh my God.
Yeah,
like,
it was so creepy. It really was. Like, they really did do fright really well. Like, yeah. I said, I wouldn't say that maybe this was like heavy with the jump scares or anything like that.
No.
And it wasn't terrifying, but it did give you this sense of unease. And I think everything that was on screen accounted for that. The cinematography, the acting, all of that. It wasn't just that it was a creepy story. But yeah, I love the fact that, like, you know, she's this teenager supposedly, and she gets on the phone, and of course it's her boyfriend, you know, teasing her on the phone, you know, and all of a sudden he's like, yeah, it's just me, you know, and then he kind of makes her creeped out a little bit, and then, you know, and then he of course has to leave because that's what you have to do in these films, and of course he gets attacked, and, you know, like, all of these things that we've seen, you know, dozens of times in other films now, the fact that it was like, man, this is like... Again, I can't say for sure. I'm not a historian on this stuff. I can't say this is the first, but it was cool to see it in an early, early stage.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I don't know if it was the first either, but it has to be one of the very first, at least, to do the handheld point of view of the killer shot.
Yes, yeah. These elements might have existed in other films, but the fact that, like, it was all put together in what will become a almost tired subgenre of horror at this point in time. The fact that, like, this is kind of like, you know, whenever this was still very fresh, was very fun to see. And the fact that not only was it fun to see, it was also just good. It was just also good.
Yeah, this movie has become strangely somewhat of like a lost relic of the genre in some sense is what I felt. And because you have movies like Black Christmas that gets a ton of credit for being, I think a lot of people incorrectly credit that movie for being the first movie to use the POV of the killer shot. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people consider that or think of that and Texas Chainsaw as being like the movies that really kicked off the slasher thing, not necessarily being the first slashers, but they call it the ones that like really jump started the genre before Halloween would eventually come out. But this movie, it sadly seems very overlooked. And it's not to say it's obscure by any means, but it's it definitely deserves more eyes on it than it gets.
I don't think it gets what it deserves, because I think people are correct in saying that Black Christmas and Texas Chainsaw did spark this whole explosion of the slasher subgenre. But I think that there's very clearly not only proof before those movies, and I'm sure there are other films other than just Fright, but the fact that Fright is also so good. Like, it's one thing to be like, oh, there was a shitty film that came out and no one really liked it, but it had some like interesting ideas, so we stole those and we made them better. Like, that's one thing. But like, Fright is really just really good. It's really good on its own. So I think it deserves a lot more attention and a lot more credit for that. I don't know if they set out knowing that they were going to do that. I can't, you know that at all. But yeah, I liked it a lot. I'll just say that. For being a fan of horror and being a fan of film, I really, really love just like going like, oh shit, they're doing that. They're doing that thing that I've seen like 1,000 times, and they're doing that in 1971. Like, that's cool.
Yeah, and then it's really interesting to also watch that and then be like, yeah, so before the end of this decade, a producer contacts John Carpenter and Deborah Hill to write a script about the babysitter murders. And like, which if John and Deborah had seen this movie, then that's just this movie? Like, what? It's very interesting. They're obviously... they end up making their very own thing that it's not at all like Halloween, but fascinating.
I recommend
checking out.
I recommend it. And I also recommend getting the 4K if you can, because I think it's worth just having in your collection.
I plan on getting that whenever I can and seeing what other content is on it. And but for now, do make sure you check it out. I watched it on Plex free, unfortunately with ads, but it is on there on Plex. And Will watched it, if I'm not mistaken, on YouTube. It was streaming free with ads at the time of recording it. It's on there. So hopefully that'll still be on there by the time this episode comes out. If not, hopefully it'll still be on Plex.
Right.
But anyway, we can move right along.
I'm ready. Hat trick.
And Will claims he's going to get all three, so we'll see.
I love how your like your confidence of me just like instantly is like, yeah, okay, here we go, bud.
This one is going to be interesting, so we'll see.
Okay.
If you get a hat trick, I'll be pretty impressed. I'd say, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
so,
good.
The bar's your first set. Film.
Here we go.
Your
I'm
first
ready.
Film for this week is going to come from the year 2016.
Oh, 20. Okay, this is recent. Okay.
And your synopsis for it from IMDb directly reads as follows. A spirited 18-year-old woman is married off to a man she barely knows as she combats the daily struggles of living in Hiroshima during World War II.
Okay. A spirited 18-year-old woman is married off to a man she barely knows in Hiroshima, in war-torn Hiroshima during World War II, something like that?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. 2016.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, Hiroshima, spirited 18-year-old, married off. Okay, next.
Your second one is going to come from the year 2018.
Oh my, these are all recent. Oh man, that makes me kind of nervous.
Your synopsis for this one reads as follows. A high school student discovers one of his classmates is suffering from a terminal illness. This secret brings the two together as she lives out her final moments.
Okay, this one sounds familiar. 2018. Say this one again.
Yeah. A high school student discovers one of his classmates is suffering from a terminal illness.
Yeah, yeah.
This secret brings the two together as she lives out her final moments.
Okay. I'm not going to say what I think this is, but I think I know this movie. Okay, 2018. I don't know if it was 2018, though, that it came out. It's always the dates that throw me. I always feel like I know this movie. This one definitely feels familiar. This seems familiar, both. But the date is what I'm kind of, you know, COVID. I mean, that really messed with the timeline. So it feels like this movie that I'm thinking of came out a lot earlier than 2018, but maybe not. Okay, I think I'm ready for the third one.
Okay, your final one is going to be from the year 2007.
Oh, okay. This is a classic compared to the other two.
Yeah. The synopsis from IMDb reads as follows. Told in three interconnected segments, Takaki tells the story of his life as cruel winters, cooled technology, and finally adult obligations and responsibility converge to test the delicate petals of love.
Oh my God. Okay. Okay. 2007, some person named Takaki, I think is what he said.
Yes.
In three segments?
Yes, three interconnected segments.
Test his power of love, cold technology, and something else? Say this.
Tells the story of his life as cruel winters, cold technology, and finally, adult obligations and responsibility converged to test the delicate petals of love.
Jesus. Okay, be sus.
It's like not even a coherent sentence. But this one was not, at least, I think... All synopsis from IMDb are user submitted to some fashion, but if so, this one it did not state
anonymous.
There was no name.
So somebody Takaki or Takishi or something, in three interconnected segments, something about cold winters tells the story of his life in cold winters,
cruel winters.
Cruel winters.
Cold technology.
Cold technology. That's what it is, and then. What was the last part?
Adult obligations and responsibility converge to test the
petals of love. Yeah, okay. Okay, 2007. All right. Let me just try to recap these three real quick. So the first one was 2016.
Yep.
And this one was the one about the spirited 18-year-old woman who was married to an unknown man in... World War II Hiroshima?
Pretty much, yeah. Married off to a man she barely knows. Yes.
Okay. Second one was 2018.
Yep.
A classmate discovers, or some a person discovers a classmate's secret or hidden illness, And this brings the two of them together. And I can't remember the rest of this.
As she lives out her final moments.
As she lives out her final moments. Okay, I guess I think I know this one. And then the last one here is 2007. In three interconnected segments, Takashinkyu or Tashinki or something. Tashinki's castle. I don't know. Somebody named Takimoto tells this tale of cruel winters, cold technology, and something. What was the last part again?
Adult obligations.
Adult obligations that test that something about the petals, test the petals of love or something like that. Yes. The fragility of something. Okay, gosh. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. I think I'm ready for the titles. Now, one of these, I think I know one of these. So we'll see what these titles do to me. I'm excited. I'm excitedly nervous.
All right. We might have a rewind back to Will saying I'm excited here.
Slow it down too. So, I'm excited.
So your first title that you have to work with this week is going to be I Want to Eat Your Pancreas.
Oh my god. So what's the title though? I Want to Eat Your Pancreas. I Want to Eat Your Pancreas. I Want to Eat Your Pancreas. Pancreas. Okay, that does not feel like the spirited 18-year-old marrying the man she doesn't know in World War II, Hiroshima.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel like that one. I Want to Eat Your Pancreas. That title does sort of ring a bell, though. Is maybe the hidden illness of the student like pancreatic cancer or something like that? Maybe. And maybe the classmate's like, I want to eat your pancreas just to help you. I want you to live. I want to eat your pancreas.
Should I eat it?
Or is this Tashiki? And is this like a bad, just not a bad, but this is like sort of like a, this is like a saying or like a some kind of euphemism in, I'm going to assume Japan, and the American translation doesn't quite make sense. Okay, give me the next title.
Your next title is In This Corner and Other Corners of the World.
God damn it.
So it's In This Corner and then in parentheses, and other corners. In this corner and other corners of the world.
Okay. So of the world is outside the parenthetical.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, God. Just, oh, man. Can we edit out the part where I said hat trick in the beginning? Okay.
Nope.
In this corner and other corners of the world.
Yeah.
See, that also feels like some kind of, you know, telling of three interconnected stories type title is what that feels like. It could also maybe be like the marriage thing. Okay, third title. I'm waiting for the title, and I'm pretty sure I'm not going to get it. And I'm pretty sure people who are listening know what I'm thinking this movie is going to be. So just give me this third title so I can know that it's not the movie that I think it is.
I think I know what movie you think. Your third title is 5 centimeters per second.
God damn it. Okay.
You were thinking The Fault in Our Stars.
Yes, I was.
Because I think you could switch older. Those synopsis together and they would work with either one. Like it's the exact same story, it sounds. I mean, like
on the surface at least.
Yes, yeah, based on the synopsis. Yeah.
Okay, well damn. Okay, so sorry, what was this one again? 5 seconds.
Five centimeters per second.
Is that fast? I'm trying to picture that in my head. 5 centimeters a second.
Absolutely not.
Well, that's like 2 inches a second. That's like 1, 2. That's not slow.
It is if you're a human.
I mean, I guess.
If that's how fast you're moving, that's like
how fast does a chairlift move? Or an escalator.
More than 5 centimeters in a second.
I don't know. We gotta look that up.
that would be like.
No. Okay, maybe it would be. Okay.
Fine. Sorry, that wasn't good for a podcast, I guess.
Like, yeah,
me
maybe not.
Moving my hand visually
across the screen.
Anyway, like for anyone listening, I slowly move my hand from one side of the screen to the other.
At approximately 5 centimeters a second. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, 5 centimeters a second. God damn it. See, the problem is that all three of this is, I think this might be a first for our show. All three of these feel like one movie, the same movie.
Oh.
These all feel like the 2007 Three Interconnected Tales, Toshiki, A Tale of, you know, Cruel Winter, whatever his name was, Cruel Winter, Cold Technology, and something, Adult Responsibilities That Test the Petals of Love, or whatever. These all three feel like titles that could be that.
That test the petals of love.
I was
the
close.
The delicate petals of love.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
Yeah.
None of them feel like the spirited 18-year-old who marries someone she doesn't know in World War II Hiroshima. None of those titles feel like five centimeters a second. So there's 5 centimeters a second. There's in this corner and all corners of the world.
In this corner and other corners
and
of the world.
Other corners of the world. And then there's also, what was the first title again? Sorry.
I Want to Eat Your Pancreas.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, how could I have possibly forgotten that one? I Want to Eat Your Pancreas. Okay. All right. I'm just going to shot in the dark. 5 centimeters a second. I Want to Eat Your Pancreas. In this corner and other corners of the world. I Want to Eat Your Pancreas. That one still sticks out as, I'm going to kind of unofficially for now, place I Want to Eat Your Pancreas as the, I think it was 2018, classmate discovers hidden illness of fellow classmate, and as she... And they bond or whatever it was as she lives out her final wishes. Yeah. Maybe her final wishes is to be a cannibal. Like, she's just like there's one thing that I just want to experience.
Human flesh.
I just want to experience this, and I can't get in trouble for it. I mean, I can, but it doesn't matter. I'm dying. And he's just like, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll be the one, you know. Okay, so unofficially,
I can live without a pancreas, right?
What's a bite gonna do? Is cancer contagious? Okay, so that's unofficially locked in there, but that leaves 5 centimeters a second, 5 centimeters per second, yep. And in this corner and other corners of the world. Okay. So 5 centimeters a second is kind of slow. It's not crawling, though. It is, I mean, there is a speed to it. What would that be? What would that... In this corner and other corners of the world. Okay, this
is... Do you want to try to say the titles with different tonal inflections?
5 centimeters per second? Maybe if I go like 4.8 inches per, per hour, whatever the conversion would be.
4.8 inches per hour.
Actually, it'd be like 1.8, I think. Okay, this is... I mean, I don't really have anything. I'm just going to say maybe in this corner and other corners of the world, and then 5 centimeters per second. Okay, how about this? I'm going to say that the 5 centimeters per second thing is something to do with just how things change. And that's going to lead me to believe that is the three interconnected stories with Toshiki. Am I saying his name that name correctly or even close?
No.
Oh my god. Say the name again for me.
I thought that was just a bit where you were like just gonna say it.
The bit is me not knowing.
Where you, I thought it was just like you were just like, I'm not gonna remember that. I'm just gonna say a name. Like it's Takaki.
Takaki. It's even more ridiculous than I thought. Okay, Takaki. Sorry, Takaki. No. So Takaki. Maybe that's the story of Takaki. That's the title of that one. Five Centers for Sex. It has something to do with growth or change. So that leaves in this corner and other corners of the world. Yeah, that kind of does fit because this corner of the world, it's Hiroshima recovering from the war, but also this is World War II. So there's other corners of the world that are also recovering from the war. And how do you find love in that? Okay, I've talked myself into it. Here we go. Locking these in. I really hope the pancreas one is about the terminal illness. That'll be so great. Okay. So the 2016 movie about a spirited 18-year-old woman marrying an unknown man in Hiroshima during World War II is called In This Corner, parentheses, and Other Corners, parentheses, of the world. The 2018 film of discovering a classmate's hidden illness, the two are brought together as she lives out her final wishes, is called
Moments.
Is called I Want to Eat Your Pancreas. For whatever reason. Because if that doesn't say love, I don't know what does. And then that leaves the 2007 film of three interconnected stories of Takaki. Cruel Winters, Cold Technology, and Adult Responsibilities Testing the Delicate Petals of Love as 5 centimeters per second. Locking it in. Hat trick. Come on.
All right. And so in terms of your hat trick success rate, you are going to retain your title.
Oh my God.
That is correct. You got it right. Yes. It's so fucking stupid. I don't know the fuck. You're only good at this whenever you announce you're going to get a hat trick now.
All this show takes is blind confidence. I figured it out.
Yeah. Yeah. So I I have personally at the time of recording not seen any of these. One of these has been on a watch list of mine for a long time, like several years now. But there's also not a ton of trivia listed about these, but I'll go over them really quick. So the first one from 2016, In This Corner and Other Corners of the World. First of all, it is currently, at the time of recording, available to stream free with ads on Freevee.
Nice.
On Tubi, which I will say we are personally on not watch really endorsing Tubi. At this point.
On watch Tubi.
But it is supposedly on there at the time of recording, and it's also available on Peacock, and it's also streaming on Shout Factory TV.
Oh, okay.
Which you can subscribe to through Amazon if you wanted to. The only thing that I had about this that was listed was that there's apparently an extended... So the movie itself is like 2 hours long, but there's an extended version that runs at 168 minutes. And in fact, that makes it the longest animated film ever made.
It's animated.
Yes, that's the connective tissue to all these. These are all like anime films. Oh, these are all Japanese animated films. So from 2018, I Want to Eat Your Pancreas.
Fantastic title, by the way.
At the time of recording, I was unable to find it streaming anywhere. It is not available to rent on Amazon. It is not streaming on any platforms that I could find. But it is a pretty well. These are all three fairly well regarded. I'll say, I know we have a segment where you try to guess the star rankings. I'll say that they're all three pretty well regarded movies. The last one from 2007 that we went over, 5 centimeters per second. This one is the one that's been on my watch list for a long time. I found it from director Gareth Evans, who directed the Raid films.
I've heard of him.
I remember years ago on Instagram, he posted, he made some post about watching this movie, and I was like, that sounds really interesting. So it's currently not streaming with a subscription anyplace, but you can rent it on Amazon, so it is easy to get a hold of if you wanted to, for like $3 or whatever. So the title itself, this was in the trivia, the title 5 centimeters per second refers to the speed in which cherry blossoms fall to the ground. The petals being a metaphorical representation of humans, reminiscent of the slowness of life. So you're kind of close on that, and how people often start to grow apart as life goes on.
I see. As their adult responsibilities get in the way. I see.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting too.
It is. Poetic.
But yeah, so that's those three. 5 centimeters per second, I need to just buckle up and watch it. It's only like an hour and five
buckle
minutes
up.
It's very short.
Buckle on up.
That's gonna be the new drop.
Buckle up if
there's a movie that we cover that's like, I just need to watch this one like
right
now.
Buckle up.
Better buckle up. So with that, we can go ahead, because there wasn't a lot of information about these, we can go ahead and move on to the segment where Will is going to try to guess the range of the IMDb star rankings on these, and then he's also going to try to guess in what order from highest to lowest these movies would fall on the star ranking.
The range part of it is just for my own...
It's just for funsies.
Added fun, yeah. That's not actually being... tried against me, but the order of these three,
and we are keeping tabs on what he gets correct and how much is wrong. We're like,
hey, I just hat trick the hat trick, bitch. So
there's a spreadsheet that's just full of stats and percentages.
Okay, so anime is not my strong suit at all. Which, by the way, at the time of the recording, the creator of Dragon Ball passed away recently.
Yes.
R.I.P.
Like yesterday, I think, right? Or at the time of recording, I guess it would be like the day before yesterday.
Takemoto?
Now, I guess.
Am I getting that name right?
I think so.
Okay. Whew. A lot of T names around here. Okay. Anyway.
Which is funny because I don't know in what order these are going to come out, but I think... this might be coming out around the time that I mentioned Dragon Ball Z.
Oh,
in our creative segment.
That's
I don't
crazy.
Know if you recall that or not.
See,
in our martial arts episode.
We're just predicting the future is what we're doing. Okay. So anyway, so anime is not my strong suit. It never has been. I do respect the art and the medium. I don't know. I assume, and this is, I'm way out of my wheelhouse here, I assume that Studio Ghibli is anime. Is it sort of anime-ish?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I love those, clearly, because I can't even pronounce the name. but I do love
you
that.
You saw, infamously, a screening of My Neighbor Totoro
in the
San Francisco theater packed with Japanese audience,
yeah,
correct?
It was the original Japanese print of that film. It was on film. It was awesome. I'd seen the movie before. I've seen Howl's Moving Castle. I've seen... whatever.
Spirited Away.
Maybe another one too. Anyway, but none of those are these. I only know anime from that. And that's it.
Yes.
So ranking these is going to be tough. I know that the fandom is pretty strong and they're pretty vocal. Especially whenever something is good, like they really like get behind it. So I'm going to say that because you've even like brought these up, or the fact that you even know these, I'm going to say that maybe these are ranked pretty high. So I'm going to say like all in the sevens.
Do you know, I forgot to mention, sorry, really quick sidebar. I forgot to mention, do you know that movie, that anime movie that came out probably 5 years ago, maybe, that was a really big deal called Your Name?
I know of the title. I know, like, the poster art is like two individuals and like a dandelion, I think.
Yeah, so that film, or I'm sorry, so 5 cm/s is from the same director of that movie.
Oh, okay.
Makoto Shinkai, which I'm sure I said exactly
you've
correct.
Said it, you've said all these names better than I have.
So he has done quite a few. Looking through his filmography, there are so many of those kinds of movies that he's done that are very well known. So the only one of his movies that I've actually seen as of the recording is Your Name, which I own on Blu-ray and is fantastic. He also did the film Weathering With You, which I've been aware of. He did one in 2022 called Suzumi that I've never seen, obviously. And he did one called The Garden of Words, which is also pretty well known. I recognize that poster, at least. Yeah, I thought that was interesting that he did all of those ones. But yeah, none of these are Ghibli films.
Yeah. I guess there has to be competition, right? There can't just be one guy doing all this.
Right, right.
So yeah, I'm going to say, because I'll say these are easily all in the sevens, maybe even like mid seven to lower eight. I'm just going to guess that as far as the range. So having said that, I will say that in this corner and other corners of the world. See, I really don't know where any of these fall. I'm kind of
this is just a complete crapshoot.
Well, I'm just kind of basing these off of the theme that I can maybe suss out here. So I'm going to say that, in this corner and other corners of the world, I can't decide if I want to place that in the top position or the second position. And I'm struggling with that one and I Want to Eat Your Pancreas. Okay. Okay. This is really just a crapshoot. Yeah. So I've already gotten my hat trick. I'm already happy. So I'm just going to say, in this corner and other corners of the world is number one. I will then actually go against my instinct and I'll actually say 5 cm/s as number two. And then I will say, I Want to Eat Your Pancreas as number three. And I feel like they're all maybe kind of close. And like I said, maybe mid seven. They're within the sevens, I feel, maybe even mid seven to lower eight.
Okay, so as with nearly every single week, your range is spot on, but your order is way off. So number one with 8.0 is I Want to Eat Your Pancreas.
Oh, man. See, I really, my original thought was like, I think that's going to be number one just because the title is so compelling.
Yeah, and then number two.
And also because it's like a high school love interest. It sounds like
Yeah. At the time of recording, with a 7.8 is In This Corner and Other Corners of the World.
Damn it, I really was fighting between those two.
And yep, and then that means third with a 7.5 is 5 cm/s.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good to know.
Yep, and then so with that, we can be whisked away directly into our
quote time.
And I do have a quote, and
so this is where you say a quote from a film, and you hope that IMDb is correct in saying that this is actually from the film that you're reading from, because you haven't seen these, and also too,
yeah.
You also deliver it in a character of your choosing that may or may not even be closely related to the film at all.
Yep, and usually my voice is like old, crazy Southern guy.
You do fall into a valley of caricatures, that's for sure.
Yes. Well, that's just a fun voice. I love doing that voice.
It's universal.
Your quote, I only picked it because it was a funny one to pick. This is another one where it is actually not a quote from a single person. This is one person saying one line, another person responding to them.
This is just a chunk of... So you're going to do both. That's right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so there's two lines.
Two given, characters.
From what I assume is one scene. So
maybe.
So your quote for this week reads as follows, and I quote, "So you're really going to die? Sure am." That's it.
Oh God, okay. I love the very, very to the point of that "sure am." Okay, I mean,
that was the whole quote on IMDb.
I mean, it feels like so you're really going to die? Sure am. It just feels like it has to be the terminal illness thing, but maybe you picked that because of that reason. But there are we do know for sure that there are two characters in here in that movie. I mean, there are two characters in the husband and the forced marriage one too, that we're aware of at least. But there's no death. So yeah, I'm gonna have to say this is this has to be "I want to eat your pancreas."
You are correct. That one was very, very, very easy. I just picked it because I thought it was funny.
No, so yeah. You're
really going to die? Sure am.
Sure am.
Yeah, it makes me want to watch the movie just to see that scene.
They all sound really good. And I really do enjoy short or feature-length anime. I'm not so big on the serialized stuff in general, but also anime specifically, just because I feel like the stories are way too involved for my attention span. But for all of the feature and short films that I've seen, they're all really well done. They all really have a really powerful story, and the artistry that is put into them is just phenomenal. So yeah, these all sound great.
I agree. Hopefully, I'm going to try to watch 5 centimeters per second to cover on our... well, maybe I won't. Because we already have our next episode scheduled. But I still want to watch this episode, and maybe I'll put it up on our Letterboxd.
Well, definitely these are all going to hopefully be eventually put up on the Letterboxd. Yeah. So look forward to that. Check out our Letterboxd for the review once Thomas does get around to actually watching these.
Well, wait, Will, which one of us is going to do a review for Reservoir Dogs?
I've been waiting for that. Well, I haven't seen the whole thing yet.
I think you need to do it. I think you need to finally watch it.
I need to finally watch the whole thing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'll agree to that. Sounds good.
Anyway.
Okay, so I'm still really caught up on this whole "I want to eat your pancreas" thing, and this is kind of like a tried and true. I don't know about true. This is definitely a tried segment of what was that called again? Where we try to see, or we predict, I should say, if and also how the title is said in a movie. So let's go ahead and assume that the line or that the title is actually a line, "I want to eat your pancreas." And as I said, jokingly, which I don't, you never mentioned this. So I assume that this is true, that this movie has nothing to do with cannibalism at all. Okay.
Not as far as I'm aware. No.
As far as you're aware. Exactly. So with that in mind, let's force ourselves to stay away from cannibalism. As far as on the nose cannibalism.
So this isn't our Raw sequel.
I mean, I don't. Okay,
Raw
maybe
two.
I want to eat your pancreas.
I want to eat your pancreas.
Okay, maybe it's a bad idea to say absolutely no to cannibalism. Let's just try to avoid, you know, straight cannibalism. But let's assume that this is said in the film. So let's go ahead and figure out. The scene where these two...
Damn it, Mihiko. I know you have pancreatic cancer. If I could, I'd eat it. Just get rid of it. And she's
what?
Like...
What? Samkine?
I want to eat your pancreas. There
yeah?
we go.
Yeah?
End scene.
Okay, that's fine. I'm fine with that.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
I can't wait for the review. Can we end it there? I think we can end it there, right?
I don't care. Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
What was that called again? I want to eat your pancreas. Pancreas. I want to eat your pancreas.
I promise next week will be better, everybody.
I want to eat your pancreas.
It's 4 a.m.
We need a cinematic universe of just this guy keeps finding, I assume it's a guy. He keeps finding terminally ill classmates as he makes his way through university. And, you know, each one comes and goes in his life, and it weighs on him. He forms a bond.
Damn it, Peter, I want to eat your colon.
Exactly. Just this guy. Just, but again, I don't think we actually fall into cannibalism. I think that it's just his testament to, like, he's saying, I want to consume your cancer before it consumes you. That's poetically what he's really saying, but he's not good with words. So he just burst out, I want to eat your prostate. There we go. Now we can end. What was that called again? Could you imagine yelling that and then being overheard? Just like, what did he just say? Damn it. I hate cancer. I just want to eat your prostate. I mean, I want to take the cancer away. Oh my God, we made it. We got there. That's true love. Man, that's true love is when one man says to another man, I want to eat your prostate.
I think that's
buckle
also
up.
I think that's also our briefest, our most brief.
I think we were concise. I think we were efficient with that one.